The main scripture that I would like to look at this morning is found in Colossians. We'll be touching a few other scriptures, but the main one is found here in Colossians, and let me read it for you, beginning over in the first chapter, around the 12th verse. Giving thanks to the Father, who fitted you to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is the invisible God's image, firstborn of all creation. For in Him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and unto Him. Or the King James says, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is above all, and in Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all He might have preeminence. Different words have different meanings to us. We speak of Jesus as Lord. That has certain meanings to us. It triggers our mind into thinking certain things. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That speaks to us. What does it mean? As the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said, He is the head of His new creation. He is the head of the church. Not only is it symbolic, but it is eternal in its working out and the truth of it. We have been made by Him, and we have been made for Him. And that's why I think it's laid out as God in His infinite wisdom has laid it out in the words that He's used pertaining to it when He speaks about the headship of Christ. And that's what we need to start to realize. If we did no more than realize and start to see clearly these two statements, that He is head and we have been created for Him. If we'd start to just partake of that just a little bit this morning, we would have our fill. That takes the working of God's Holy Spirit in each one of our lives to bring us to experiencing this, because in the great salvation that God has given to us, nothing has any value unless we experience it. Even though it's eternal in its worth, it has no meaning to us unless we experience it. You can know certain facts. You can know the glories of all of this as far as saying, yes, it thrills me, or it excites me, or it stimulates me. But unless it does all of this to put your will into action to experience God, and this is where the element of faith comes in, it has no meaning, has no value. For us to say that I have been created for Him has no meaning unless I start to experience what that means. And in what we've been talking about here in recent days, this is the And I might say this in my own words and in my own expression, this is the elementary principle of God's kingdom. That is headship. Everything has been created, even the relationships that we've been talking about have been created by Him and for Him. And any time that we're going to enter into the things of God, it's going to have to get past that which only stimulates my emotion and excites me for the moment. It must get down to where my will is exercised in His. And that's why most of us don't like it. We like to be entertained. We like to be excited. We like to enter into something. And we do something as long as it gives us pleasure. The pleasure in what God is doing has a little more lasting value than some of the things that we do for our own pleasures down here. And thus we enter into this place of exercising our will in God's will. I am here for Him. There's another place where this is used in the New Testament. It's found in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, speaking about the woman. She was created for Him. Small h. She was created for the man. Take it right over, because Paul uses the illustration as far as the love and the submission. He uses it all in relationship to Christ and the church. There is a working here that each one of us need to know more than just theory, but need to enter into it, because only as we do the will of God are we going to know the joy of the Lord. It's going to be past human feelings, human knowledge. It enters on into the realm of God's eternal working. Enters on in to know and prove the will of God in a moment-by-moment experiencing of God. It's hard for some of us when we make certain statements like we can live in the presence of the Lord at all times. It's hard for us to comprehend that, because we relate that somehow to our feelings. It's not related to your feelings. Sorry. And God's way of salvation is that you now have entered into His life, and you are to live that life on a 24-hour basis. You're not in and out of this life. It's a life that you know Him. Now, the question is, define what it means to know Him. Define what it means to walk in this new life with His awareness. Define that. Well, I'm not going to define it for you this morning, because that's something you must experience. And if I defined it, you'd try to fulfill this in my definition rather than going ahead and experiencing God. But it is a reality that God has made you in the new creation to where you are to experience His life at all times. You have been made for Him. Now, when I say that, take it two ways. Both sisters and brothers, and both sisters and brothers together. Because any time that we look at the woman being made for the man, we must always put it together with the man and woman being made for Him. That's the working out of this. It's the working out of the marriage. Most of the trouble begins when we want to move separate from God's order. Because what we're talking about is order. It's where the authority of God flows. Even though we don't like these words, I'm not saying that we don't just hear don't like those words. I think in some degree we like them. Of course, when we come up against them, we kind of stiffen ourselves a little bit because we don't understand them properly. But hallelujah, if we understood them properly, we would come and submit to the authority of God at all places and at all times. But we're afraid of losing our rights. That's what it amounts to. When we hear about authority, we're afraid that it's going to come in and rob us of something. And yet, when we submit to the authority of Christ, it opens up the door for all of what God has prepared for us. And there is no other way. I've been made by Him and for Him. I cannot find myself. I cannot find anything until I find the authority of God, till I submit to the authority of God. He is the head of this new creation. I have been, as I've already read this morning, I have been taken from one kingdom and placed in the kingdom of the Son of God. Kingdom speaks of what? Authority. In other words, what use is a kingdom unless it's an authority? And of course, the authority of God, we know, at least I hope we know, is really revealed in His nature. Because the kingdom of God is full of love. And that's where we have to allow God to redefine what love really means. Love without authority is not love. Love without order is not love. Because everything now attaches to God. I've been created by Him and for Him. Now, let's get down to just making certain statements to where you can think just a little bit. Let's take you sisters. I have been created by God for man. What does that do immediately? That takes away all of your rights to self-expression. And it brings you down to the reality of why God created you. And we need to find that out. Now, I'm not picking on sisters this morning, so don't feel that I am. I'm looking at the order of God and that which is going to glorify God. Each one of us fit into this, and if there is a demand put upon you for obedience unto Him, there is just as much or more of a demand put upon the head, the man, in this particular outworking, because from Him must come the direction, the love, the giving of Himself, as Christ gave Himself for the church, so that we can see this worked out, so that it become a reality. And as we know, in this whole working, whether we're back and forward in the body of Christ or whether we're in the relationship, we never move outside of the body of Christ just because we move into the relationship of the home. Because all of this, in its fullness, the home, is made by God for God. An expression that we've heard many times that's spoken of in the book of Genesis. I know Abraham. He will command his children. Now, I don't know whether we really realize what that means. But God's going to teach us. And that's the thing. I find if we have through ministry a definition laid out for us, usually we just drop it at that. But if you have an area that's moved before you that you cannot know unless you move in and accept it, if you have any hunger, desire at all, you're going to say, I want to experience that. We get pretty hardened and indifferent to definitions, don't we? Because we classify that as That's just your opinion. But when there is this principle of life, then we must move in by faith and partake of it. To know the area that we're talking about this morning of the headship of Christ, I've been made for Him. Every one of us can say that. Sisters, you have been made for the man. That's God's order of creation. Brothers and sisters, as one. And you are one. Don't look at yourself as two. A lot of times we look at ourselves as individual personalities. It all looks good, but God's Word says you have become one. And that's why in that oneness there's only one head. And that's why in that relationship that we're talking about, God's Word says you have been made for Him. Now, in that oneness, in that working out, in everything that's done, every responsibility that we have, you have been made for God. That means that everything that we do, as Paul relates it to whether we eat or drink, whatever we do all to the glory of God. There's no difference. If we've been made for God, then everything that we do should be to the glory of God. Now, this is going to take some thinking. This is going to take some maturity. The children play. And they're not able to bear responsibility. They're tossed to and fro by their emotions, what they think. Something attracts them over here and something attracts them there. But when we grow up, what does it mean to grow up? How far do I have to go before I grow up to where you can take direction, that you can move, that you can respond? Now, we are to be as children in one way, and that is that we are dependent, that we are ready to respond and obey. That's what that's what this training we've been talking about speaks of, to be brought to a place that we can know the rest of God, know that we're not struggling within ourselves, but that we're responding to God, and now our whole trust is in Him. Take a child in the simplicity of the working out. They're not worrying about where the food's coming from, whether the money's coming from, who's clothing them. Does your children gather together every day and decide if they're going out and making some money to buy or to fish or what it may do? No, they have no worries. And we are to come to God in the same way, in the same manner, as a child in this respect. But now in what we're talking about, we must bear up under responsibility. That means there's no longer the spirit of just playing. That's why sometimes we're so wrong in allowing our children to enter into the spirit of the world. Just play, 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 play. And all they want to do is play, play, play. There's no difference. You know why? All we want to do is play, 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 play. To come down to some serious thinking and activating of our wills in God. It's hard for some of us to realize that this is the way that God has called us to walk in. He wants us to make some serious choices. Because He never takes away your choice, does He? And He wants us to come down to think about these things, to think in Him. Even as we come to remember the Lord, it can become a habit like we've heard so many times. You know why it becomes a habit? Because we get grooved in on one area of thinking. And we do not allow God to enlarge our hearts and our minds to think in Him. Why does our Christian life become nothing more than a habit? Because it stops in its growth. That's why it becomes a habit. It's no longer growing. The life of God is a continual growing in knowledge of Himself. But it can only come as we experience God, as we move out. And this is where so many of us are prone to slip back, because it takes energy. It takes something. And Most of us, we just want to do what is needed. We don't want to go that second mile. There's nothing that God has that's easy if you continue in faith. I've said it, and I know others have said it here. Faith is the most strenuous exercise of the Christian life, because faith demands all of our spiritual sensitivity, our spiritual knowledge, our spiritual energy, activating of our will. It demands all of this, because faith is not faith unless first it has heard God. It's not faith unless we have responded to God. We look at faith and we just lump it all together. And after you come back a ways and you see it all worked out, you can say, yes, that brother had faith. But you cannot say that just when God has spoken. Because the only way you're going to reveal that God has spoken is in your response. And how do I respond? You put, and this is what the will is, the whole you into what God has said and what God is saying. What God is saying in Christ Jesus. As we look at these words here this morning, we have been created for Him. Now put yourself over there in that "for." We can put another word on it if you'd like. We have been sanctified by Him. What's the difference? I've been made for Him. I'm for His use only. What does that mean? That means that all of my behavior, all of my goals are for what? For Him. I must be able to see Him and Him glorified in it. I have been made by Him. I have been made for Him. I have not been made for myself. I have been made for Him. Now, before we're going to break the chains that sometime bind our minds, we're going to have to think upon that, be exercised in faith in it, to where we come to the place and we can honestly say, as the Apostle Paul, and this should be our beginning place, but it's not usually, I have been crucified. In other words, as we were saying this morning, death is the beginning point. It's the beginning point of what God is doing. It's out of that death that comes life. It's out of this place that we enter into the new creation. Can you start to relate that everything that you do is for Him? Everything. Some of us can't, because some of us want a balance. Throw your balance out the door. I don't want a balance. Now come on, think with me this morning. Because you think I've gone off my rocker, but I haven't. In the Christian life, we seek for the balance. And we seek and we seek and we find no balance. And we keep questioning. The reason you keep questioning is there is no balance. You don't change colors. You're not a chameleon. When you go here or go there, you're spiritual wherever you're at. Wherever God wants to place you, you should be representing Him. You're there for Him. But I need the balance between the natural and the spiritual. No, you don't. There is no balance between natural and spiritual. Is there? Come on. There is no balance. Man, we have been brought into the kingdom of His Son. It's all spiritual. That's why I say we have been created for Him. Now we've got to start to think in God. We've got to start to know the communion of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the anointing. Wherever God has placed me, you can go down in your job and you're there for who? Me. No, you're not. Who said you were? But you know those are natural. I'm there to get natural. Who said you were there to get natural things? But I need things for... Everything is for God. Come on. I mean, I'm talking about spiritual principles this morning that we do not see clearly. And we need to see clearly. And I may repeat myself 100 times here this morning. Excuse me for that. But we must see these areas. I don't care if it takes 100 times repeating myself or 100 days of ministering on the same subject. We must see this. That I am a new creation. I'm not struggling with the natural and the spiritual any longer. I've entered into the kingdom of God. That everything that I do now and ever who I am, I'm here because of Him and I'm here for Him. I wake up in the morning, I'm here for Him. Sisters, you do whatever you have to do and everything is done for Him. You're here, you're glory for Him. It's how you move, how you respond to every situation. Are you doing it as unto the Lord? Every response unto your husband, all of it as unto the Lord? Everything is for Him. The strength is there in Him if you'll only move in Him. Your job, what's it for? For Him. Can you glorify God in your job? Well, I can't quite see it that way. You better start seeing it that way. Not because I said so, but because of the Word of God. I'm here for Christ. And if we find ourselves in a place to where we cannot glorify God, to where we have to compromise the life that is within us, then you can't move by faith. And if you can't move by faith, what do you need to do? That's a little mile. Run! Other words, we need to know that we are a glory unto God. And there are certain places that we cannot be and cannot be a glory to God in this world. But there's plenty that God has left to where we can be a glory and we can earn money so that we can have to give as unto Him. Right? Isn't that what you're earning money for? Oh yes, God knows you have needs and He meets those needs, right? But it's all for Him. Needs are not for us, but for Him. Why are we doing certain things? We're doing it for Him. And it's all because I have been created for Him. Headship. I want you to associate headship with for Him. Because that's the reality of it. Right? I'm part of His body. I'm a member. In particular, He knows He has given me grace. Otherwise, I have life flowing to that member. Whether it's my little finger, whether my thumb, my ear, my eyes, whatever it is, the ability is coming from the head. If you know anything about medicine, you'll find out that the brain seems to control every aspect of our bodies. You can't even see. Right? Head. The head. He has become the head of the church. Then what does it say about the working out in the book of Ephesians when it talks about us functioning underneath the head? It has a working out. Because we're connected to the head, what happens? What? The body's built up because we are functioning according to the effectual working in every member. The working of who in every member? The working of Christ in every member. Because everything that is done has been done by Him and for Him, and He is still working all things to His end purpose. God is sovereign. When He says that, He doesn't mean that He's going to choose some and not choose others. He has sovereignly chosen those in Christ Jesus to be conformed to His image. And I like what the scripture in Colossians says, that we're going to be brought to a place that we're blameless. Well, we can explain that away. Unreprovable. Explain that one away. No place. God's going to do such a perfect work in us. That is, if, and the if is there, if we continue, glory, in faith. We must be active in God. And we can only be active in God when we know. That's why God gave us a mind. He didn't give us a mind to fill it with all of the wisdom of this world. He gave us a mind to know Him, to think in Him, to think spiritual things. Set your mind upon the things of the Spirit. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul tells us? Because if you know the things of the Spirit, it far surpasses anything that the man can take and manufacture. And yet man uses his mind for all kind of things, and wisdom is increasing, knowledge is increasing, is it not? We see it all around us. Things start out big and they become small. They put everything that was in the big into the small. We're living in a time of everything is miniature. That is in its perfection. That's the exact opposite of what God is doing. Everything that God is doing one day is going to fill everything. His fullness is going to fill us, and the glory of what He has done is going to fill the whole earth and the heavens. So what I'm saying, and reason I'm saying that, is to see the worth of what we're doing. Because a lot of us don't feel that what we're doing has any worth. It doesn't have any meaning. But beloved, if you have been created by Him and for Him, everything that you do have meaning. Let me just show you what Jesus says about this meaning. Well, Lord, we didn't come and visit you in jail. We didn't see you down there. We didn't come and do it. He said, if you give a cup of cold water. I didn't even know that. That's what the worth. That's where He puts the worth. Have you been obedient? Have you had eyes to see? It isn't the great things that we're looking for here this morning. It's the small areas of obedience. It's seeing the glory of living for God. It's not living under a set of rules. It's responding in life. But I can't respond in life outside of the headship. If I've been created for Christ, then I must find my expression in Christ, right? In union with Him. If you sisters have been made for man, then you can only find your true meaning in the working out of that order and that union there, so that that union may be for Him. Now, we're not going anywhere in the working out, because each one of these expressions, the giving of oneself, which is the man's expression, the woman's expression of coming under or submitting, unless these two elements are working out in the lives, we are not going to raise our children properly. Now, you've heard me say this. I'm more convinced of it than the last time I said it. Our lives minister louder than our words. You're going to minister who you are. And you sisters, if you are made for Him, you will be ministering to your daughters that expression. It will become a living realization before your very eyes. And that's where we have failed so many times. We have raised our children, whether it be male or female, for the world. We're more concerned with their success in the world than we are their success in the plan of God and then in the family and raising them up to where they're prepared. And then we wonder why we get there and we have children and we're not prepared, because many of you sitting right here say, oh, I wish that I had the answers when we got married, when we had children. Husbands, giving of yourselves. That's going to minister to the boys in the family. It's also going to give that dual expression, because it harmonizes. When they come together, these two come together, you see the perfect reveal. Not the perfect balance, but the perfect in Christ. You see a life. Just like in Jesus, you don't see a balance, you see the will of God. And this is exactly what we're looking for. We're not looking to try to find a balance somewhere in this here. We're looking for that pure expression. But I can't say that I am pure. You have to come to a place of confidence, brothers and sisters, as I said the other night, that you are confident that you're walking in all the light that God has given you today. If you're not, that confidence is condemnation in your heart. God's going to give you the grace. All He asks you to do is respond. All He asks you is obedience. I know you hear these over and over again, don't you? Quit just listening for the words. We can try some of these areas if we have really been partakers of them. We can look around and see if our lives, like Abraham, is it commanding our children? Our lives now. Not our words, not when they thunder, but when we just walk before the Lord. Does our lives command something? Because this is the working out of headship. God has given Christ to be head. And because He is head, He has taken the full responsibility of all that the church is. That's what a mediator is. He's taken full responsibility for it, has He not? Because He knows that those that are in union with Him, those that walk by faith, are going to be brought to the place that He has designed. And I can say without any hesitation that the order is for as the woman to the man, and in the headship that's to be worked out, as far as that relationship, that it will bring glory to God if it's worked out in Christ. It must be worked out in union. Both of these, the male and the female, husband and wife, must, in their union with God, see that their function is worked out to where their lives are one. Each one in their position, just like the church, is never the head, and the head never becomes the church. True? That's a good balance there to see it, if we're looking for balance. But the thing is that we are one. Is that not true? One with Christ. And He's going to work all that He is into each one of us. Now, that's not going to be done separate from us. That's going to be done in union with Him. We're going to respond. We're going to move in response to God. The flow comes from the head. All of the knowledge. He has become knowledge, wisdom, sanctification, salvation, redemption. He has become all things to us. How does this happen? Because everything flows from the head to us. We find true values in Him. But we must, if nothing else, we must start to see that we're here for Him in every situation. And that's going to become mechanical at first. So don't feel, well, I'm not in the Spirit because I'm having to do everything. Keep doing it. keep doing it. And pretty soon it won't be mechanical. It'll be out of the life of God. I know you can take that back and forth and you can argue the case here and there. But all I'm saying is, if you know to do good, do it. If you're in the Spirit this morning and you know that God wants you to do something, do it. But it's me doing it. Who do you think's going to do it? How many times have you heard that, Bob? I've heard that hundreds of times. You tell somebody to do it and say, well, that's going to be me doing it. Sure it is. Who do you think's going to do it? And if you do it enough in union with Him, pretty soon you'll know that it's Him doing it. But I think that these things are hang-ups to us. Well, brethren, we've got to take and encourage each other to where we get out of the hang-ups and we come on. Exercise yourself in God. Do something. Do what God's saying to you. But I just don't feel that it's God. Have you looked to the Word? Have you prayed? Do you know that this is what God wants? Can you say this morning, as I've already said, do you know that you're here for God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? Can you say that? Now, are you going to prove that? Because one thing to say it is another thing in every situation that you find yourself, and you may have to look up and say, Lord, I'm here for you. I don't know why. Things don't look the way they should. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. But Lord, I'm here for you. Now, you show me. I mean, I've got to have that attitude. If I don't have that attitude, I stand condemned along the way somewhere. I think that I'm in the natural and, well, Lord, you know, you give me place for the natural because I'm still in this world. I'm still in this body. How many times have you heard that, brother? That's real spiritual, isn't it? It has nothing to do with the spirit. God knows you have a body, and He said He put in this earthen vessel something that is eternal. It's a treasure. He knows you're in this body. You don't have to remind Him that you're still in this body. That doesn't make you natural. You're in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom age. You're in the kingdom of His dear Son, where He's head. And His order is the only thing that's going to have meaning. And that's why we're talking about this headship. And we must see it. We must submit to it. And we must enter on in to enjoy it. Because, sisters, if you're not enjoying headship, your daughters will not enjoy marriage. Because marriage is entering into, in the Christian life, headship. Your daughters will come on down into marriage and they'll say, oh me, what am I doing in this? I lost my whole self. I have a right. Man, I had a career. We've taught them that. Along the way, it hadn't been just with words. It's been the direction that we've been going. Because the world moved in, planted its magnet upon us, and said, come my way. And today we have, it's almost impossible for a family, I think we're doing real well, but it's almost impossible for a family to exist without both man and woman having a job. Aren't we thankful this morning that the Lord is still, at least we have a desire that to have God's order. Hallelujah. And we need to thank God for this, and we need to encourage one another towards this. Those that are compelled and have no other way, we understand, don't we? I hope we do. I don't hope we're not out here condemning somebody that has to work, a sister that has to work because she has no husband. In the past, I think we've had people that tried to do that, but I don't think we're there. I think we have the love of God. We understand. But the Spirit even in the one that's having to, knows that they're here for God's glory. And they know the order. And God will give the grace in that situation, that His will may be done, not what you want to do. But what I'm saying is that the world today is getting us into this frame of thinking. And thus, we feel the pressure. And thus, we feel that we must educate. And when we educate, this is what is being propagated. We're training for the world rather than training for God. True or false? Just like somebody's telling me just the other day, came up to my door, we got talking a little bit. He said, "All knowledge is of God." Now I know there's a book written about that somewhere. I said, "Is that true? All knowledge is of God." Then how come He said in His Word that by the knowledge of man or the wisdom of man, no man knew God? I said, you better get your knowledge back and get a little bit of understanding what it means. Because if you use that thing, you can blame everything on God, and God is not to blame for everything that we see around us. But God gave us all of these wonderful crutches to enjoy. He did. Now, I'm not naming those crutches, so because you're not ready for that yet. But He gave us all of these wonderful people around us for us to be partakers of. Is that right? You're in the kingdom of His dear Son. You're here for Him. Now, you can just see, because I brought you down to a place to where the spiritual thinking and the natural thinking part. And you can take and say, okay, I'm going to grab a hold of that spiritual and I'm going to let it tag along to this natural. And I'm going to blame God for a lot of things down the road. You won't do it. You may do it, but you're not going to blame God for it. Because God's wisdom is doing what God designed it to do. God's knowledge is for those that are walking in the light. Because we've been created by Him and for Him. I hope you can, a few moments, not only today but every day, be mindful that you're here for God. In everything. And you find yourself in something that you cannot say that you will at least acknowledge it and get out of it. And I know some of us, we find ourselves in a place like that, and the cost is pretty high. Is that not true? We can. Beloved, let us face it. We can have to pay the price to be a son. Not in the way that you're thinking, but if we find ourselves in a place that we cannot move in faith and we cannot glorify God and it's not for Him, we lose everything to gain the kingdom. Isn't that true? I don't see anybody saying yes. If you find yourself where you're not for God, there's only one thing that you can do. Get out. Not walk out, run out. But how do I know that that's what God wants? How small is your God? Or could I put it another way? Have we so conditioned ourselves that the Spirit of God cannot speak to us? Because I'm convinced that He's faithful. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what words slip from your mouth. The Holy Spirit is there, and He lets you know when things please Him. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I mean, we survey a father that loves us. We're not talking about somebody that's hiding around the corner to hit us in the head every time we do something wrong. We're talking about a father that has put the Holy Spirit that we can know his righteousness. We can know the joy of the Lord. Now, if you're trying to get your own joy mixed up with the joy of the Lord, it won't mix up. Because you may find yourself out here enjoying yourself and enjoying what you want to do, but there's no real joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is lasting. It goes through the places of times of sorrow and the times to where you have to activate your will and walk on through to the glory of God. When nobody understands. Had you found yourself there? Nobody understood around you. But you knew what God wanted. Even in our gathering here, a lot of times when we're having to take that step. Now, I'm not talking about those that are doing their own thing. I'm talking about those that are going through, that are really trusting God. Sometimes others do not understand, and they try to give natural advice where spiritual advice would be in line. And sometimes spiritual advice is, why don't you be quiet? Because there's times to be quiet in some of this walking and let somebody walk on through where they're walking. Let me just illustrate myself. Beloved, I need your prayers every time you pray. I don't always need your advice because your advice isn't always for His glory. I can remember the time that somebody said to me, Brother Gordon, don't you think you have cancer of the throat? I don't need that kind of advice. Don't you think you need to go to a doctor and see? I need your prayers every time you pray. But I don't need your advice. Divide the two now. And I just use me for an example so I wouldn't have to use any of you. Do you understand what I've said? Now, we need the encouragement. But be sure it's encouragement when you come. Be sure you're there to lift up. And if you can't lift up, just pray. Is that spiritual? Sure is. Because we're here for one thing. Him. Do you see a little more about what headship is? Sisters, you're here for your husband. You're here for man. And in the order of God, you're here for God. Because every one of us must find an expression in this. Husbands, men, you're here for God. And in being here for God, you must give yourself as Christ gave himself for the church. Nobody escapes. When I say that, I say it in this manner. Nobody escapes into themselves to do their own will. We're here for Him. And our will is going to be bound in His will. Our thoughts are going to think as He thinks. Oh yes, He's working. And never let any of us think that we have attained at any one time. We haven't. And as long as we're here, we're going to be pressing on towards the mark. The farther we get down the road, we know the more and more we need Him. The more and more we need to know about Him and experience Him. We know that. But also, there's something that we know more and more. I'm here for Him and Him alone. So, may this help us in the working out of this area of discipline. this area of ordering, because we're not going anywhere until we see this and see it clear. Because we can put certain things into order, but if our lives are not in order, we're saying one thing and doing something else. And don't think it's spiritual to say, do as I say, don't do as I do. That's not spiritual. That's coming from the world. So just throw that out of the way. When you think what you say. When you give directions, are you going those same directions? Follow me as I follow Christ. That's the profession of the apostle. And that should be our profession. In other words, what I'm saying, I'm doing. Up to all of the light I have. No, I have not attained. And you don't have to tell your children you haven't attained. They know you haven't attained. You don't have to tell them, I'm imperfect, but just do. I wish we'd get a lot of this terminology out of the way and quit this false humiliation. Start to just reveal who we are and not make any apologies for Jesus and what he's doing. Because when we keep apologizing, this is not humility. I'm not perfect yet. Where you at? Are you right where God wants you? Yes? Then quit making excuses for that good work that God's doing in you. Glory. Now, I'm not looking for a positive confession. I'm looking for a life lived out in faith. Because we got all these type of things that are trying to confess something when there's no reality. We must come from the place of reality. But then I think we need to take and trim these things off of our life that keep contradicting what God is doing. Because I don't believe, as you look at it, and you look at it fairly, I don't believe that's the way God wants humility walked out. Humble ourselves, yes, before each other and before the mighty hand of God. And when God lifts you up to a higher plane, you're still going to be the same spirit. Humility is revealed in the spirit in which we move. Not in our simple words of trying to humble ourselves through words. Because haven't you met the person that's so proud and yet their words say, I'm a humble man. And yet they're proud. They're telling you right off of the hand that they're proud. But we're here for God. Let's walk that out. Glory.